think I'm done. All right. Bring us the word, brother. Bring us the word.
All right, our speaker for this morning and this afternoon needs no introduction. We're just always glad when Brother Eddie Bowen can come down and spend a little time with us. We'll try to get him to stay longer, but he doesn't want to impose, I guess. But he's no imposition. So, Brother, you come and preach the word of the Lord put upon your heart this morning.
God bless you, brother. Thank you, my friend. All right, it's always good to be back. And precious memories don't flood my soul. Just so many wonderful, wonderful things that come to my mind. The good times and the joyful times, challenging times at times as well, but all in God's goodness and mercy to work out His ultimate plan and purpose, and we can rejoice in all those things. For all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. This morning, we want you to turn your Bibles to start with to the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to basically be taking our text from chapter 30, but we're going to look at a little bit of chapter 27, 28, and then go into verse 30. Just to kind of lay a thought and a foundation. I've been doing this recently more in my messages as laying a foundation, but I found that I lay a foundation for like 35 minutes and then I ran out of time to preach, my main ideal. But it's still kind of the way the Lord's led me in my old age. So we hope that it'll be a blessing, and that's kind of what we're going to do today. We're going to lay a good foundation, and then the two parts of that message will be applied to that foundation that we laid. And we're going to talk about something very practical. It's not profound. I think it's something we are aware of to some degree, but we're not to the degree that we need to be. And it's almost not involuntary action, just like blinking. We blink all through the day. Of course, there's a purpose for that. God designed our bodies to do that, to clean our eyes and stuff and different things. We breathe without really giving it thought until we can't breathe, and then we all of a sudden realize something's not right. We take a breath, and we breathe in, and we breathe out. And we do it all through the day, you know, multiple settings. And the subject that we have for today is something that we do all through the day, multiple times. Many, many, many times they're minor, they're almost involuntary, we don't even give thought to it, we don't give pause to it. But then sometimes there are major things that we do involving this subject, and we spend time in considering before we make these choices, or sometimes we fail to consider and we make choices and regret it. The title of the message is, Life is a Series of Multiple Choice. Life is a series of multiple choice. And we have all through our life multiple choices. Every day. This morning when you rise, you had things that you made choices of. What time to get up. You made choices about whether or not you ate breakfast and what you ate for breakfast. And whether to have coffee or not to have coffee. And whether to drink water or not. Take your pills or not. And on and on and on. There are many, many, many choices that we made already today. We can't even imagine. We made a choice to come to church. A good choice to come to God's house. We made a choice to be here, to hear the word of God and to lift up our voices, to sing praises. We have to make a choice to do that. Many times people come to church and they come to church to receive a blessing of the song service, but they don't make a choice to sing. That's a choice. They made a choice not to. You know, to those who refuse to sing, you know. But everything we do is involved in multiple choices. There's different ways to do it. Sometimes there's only two ways to do it. Sometimes there's multiple ways to do it. And you have to make a choice. And there's choices that are good and there's choices that are bad. And that's, of course, where we want to draw our attention, is to be able to decipher and to discern between those choices. Good choices and bad choices. God-honoring choices and flesh-honoring choices. So on and so forth. In the book of Deuteronomy, you'll understand that it's written, of course, God is delivering to Moses his marching orders to the nation of Israel as they are getting ready to go into the promised land. And he is going to, through Moses, he is going to give the people the order that they are going to covenant together to perform this task of going into the promised land. And God is going to give them some commandments. And he tells them that he wants them not only to know these commandments, not only to hear these commandments, but he wants them to obey the commandments and do the commandments. Well, obviously, that requires a choice. A choice whether or not to even know them, to hear them, to understand them, or to do them. They have to make choices in those things, and whether or not they make the right kind of choice. And God goes on to tell Moses to advise them that he's going to set before them good choices and bad choices. He's going to set before them life and death, and good and bad, good and evil. And he's going to tell them, choose life, right? He said, make the right choice. He gives them that opportunity to make these choices. Now, understand off the very beginning, I believe in an absolute sovereign God. I believe God is in control of everything that goes on in this world, either by his divine and his active will or by his permissive will, whereas he allows certain things to take place. All of it is in part of his plan and purpose that he has that will be fulfilled. Chapter 27, if you look at verse 1 of Deuteronomy, it says, "And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." He reminds them every once in a while, where did you get this land? The Lord God gave it to you. You didn't go over there and take it on your own. God gave this to you. And he says that thou shalt set up the great stones and plaster them with plaster, and thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, and the Lord thy God of thy fathers hath promised thee. So he says, I want you to go over, and when you get there, I want you to take some stones, and I want you to plaster them, and I kind of have the ideal of whitewashing them with this plaster-type product. And then he says, I want you to set those up, and they're a memorial, something that they see that they're reminded of. What are they reminded of? Well, they're to write the law on there, and they're reminded of the law that they're to keep. God says, you're to keep this law, and I want you to be reminded of it when you go into this land, because you're going to have many opportunities to make multiple choices, all kinds of choices there, and there's going to be all types of influence on you to make a certain choice. There's good influence, and there's bad influence, and wicked influence, and evil influence. And so God tells us that we need to be careful about choices that we make and how we make them, and that's what we're going to go through this message, is finding this out. How can we know what the choices are, number one? How can we know how to make the right kind of choice? What determines the right kind of choice? And so these are some of the things that we want to think about. In chapter 28 and verse 1, he says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do." We hear a lot about listening to the word of God and hearing the word of God. But God says, I don't want you to only hear it. I don't want you to only know it. I want you to do it. And that's where we fail a lot of times. We hear it and we know it, and we don't do it. And we need to do it. We need to make the choice to hear it. We need to make the choice to know it. And then we need to make the choice to do what God has commanded us to do. And so he tells them, I want you to hear and observe to do all the commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You notice here there are conditional blessings in the Bible. There are some unconditional promises in the Bible that God works in his infinite sovereign grace. But there are some conditions. God said that if you do this, then I'm going to do this. There's a condition. There's a great blessing here for you, but you have to do this to get that blessing. And we, of course, know what he says here. They got to keep the commandments, practice the law. He goes on down and says, blessed shalt thou be in thy city, and blessed shalt thou be in thy field. And he goes on down and says, you're going to be blessed everywhere. If you'll just listen to me, he says, and if you'll keep the commandments and do them, you're going to get all of these blessings, how much we rob ourselves of the blessings of God by not obeying him and making good choices. He says in verse 10, "And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee." By doing what they ought to do, knowing what they ought to know, practicing those things, the Lord's going to bless them. And as the Lord blesses them, all the people of the earth are going to recognize that these are the people of God. God is with these people, and he's blessing these people. And that's true today for us. If we will listen to God and live the way God has told us to live, practice those things that God has commanded to do, and keep the commandments that Jesus told us to keep, and live that way, then the people of the earth are going to see God's blessings on us, and it's going to have an effect on them. It's going to be a witness to them of the Lord working in us. Now let's go down to verse 11, chapter 28. Actually, verse 15. Verse 15 of chapter 28. You know, he's told them that if you do this, if you do that, if you know the blessings, if you know the commands, and you keep the commands, practice the commands, then I am going to bless you. Verse 15, the contrast. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken, listen to them, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee, and overtake thee. Now he's going to tell them what the curses are. I've told you what the blessings are, but if you don't do, if you don't hearken, and if you don't do, then there's going to be consequences. Brother Bourne mentioned consequences today in conversation a couple times. And he said, if you don't do the things you ought to do, you're going to have to pay the piper. There's going to be consequences. So he warns us of that truth, that we are aware. And he goes on down through verse 28 and 29, chapter 28 and 29, and he gives them some of the warning about Israel and about their forefathers and what they've done and what they've accomplished and how they've failed and what's been the results of all of that. And he warns them about that. Now, if you go to verse 30 and look at verse 1, Deuteronomy, it says, "And it shall come to pass that when all these things are come upon thee, the blessings and the cursings, which I have set before thee, that thou shalt call them to mind among the nations whither the Lord thy God hath delivered thee." Now he says, as you go into this land, and all of a sudden you're reminded of the blessings, and you're reminded of the cursings, and you're reminded you have to make a choice. Do you want the blessings, or do you want the cursings? Now obviously, we want the blessings, right? I mean, who wouldn't? We want all of our cities to be blessed, and our homes to be blessed, and our fields to be blessed, and our cattle to be blessed, and our lambs to be blessed, and our vineyards to be blessed, and produce great product and produce. And we want that, but to get that, we have to do this. And if you don't do that, just the opposite is going to happen. Your cities are going to be cursed. Your home's going to be cursed. And you go down through there and read that, and some of the things that are going to take place. If they fail to listen to God, hearken to God, and do the things that God said, and make the right choices, because God knows when they go into this promised land that they are going to be faced with various temptations and influences. To have idols and false gods and to fleshly desires and to follow the way of the heathen, to pattern himself after the time and after the people there. And so God's warning them, don't make that choice. Make the right choice. If you go on down to verse 10 of chapter 30, he says, "If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in the book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off." He says, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, "Who shall go up into heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou sayest, "Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it?" Now he says, He said, this isn't something that's hidden. This isn't something that's complicated. This isn't something that you can claim ignorance about and that you didn't know that God wanted you to do this. You didn't understand. God said, it's right here. Nobody has to make a journey to get it and fetch it to you. I've given it to you. And he says here in the next verse, he says, but the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. He said, it's right here. You have no excuse. That's what he's telling us. Of all the choices that we make all through our life, and there are thousands upon thousands, and there's no way I could get into all the different choices that we make. There's no way that we can make excuses that we didn't understand and we didn't know. Because God has made it all very close to us in his word. Very nigh to us. We know what God expects of us. We know that this is what God wants us to hearken to, and to do, so that he might bless us. Because it's conditional. There's conditional blessings involved in that. And he goes on down and he says a little further. He says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his way, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and that thou mayest, and that the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou shalt go to possess it. He says the words right there. I've told it to you. I've explained it to you. You know what it is. You know what's expected of you to do, and you know what is expected of you not to do. And if you do what you should do, I am going to bless you in this new land. I am going to make you prosper, and the world's going to look at you and be envious of you, because they know that you are God's people. But if you don't do it, God doesn't leave them blind there either. He said, if you don't do it, I'm going to bring all these cursings to you. You've seen those curses in Egypt, he tells them, if you read through this portion of Scripture. You know what I did to Egypt. I'm going to do that to you. If you don't obey me, hearken unto me, and make the right choices. That's true to us today. Now let's go over to the New Testament, because we want to apply it and see that how it has continued to be the case and is practical for us today to understand that God expects of us certain things. In the book of Romans, in chapter 12, and verse 1, and we'll talk a little bit about the book of Romans and where we're at right here in just a minute, but he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, there's a lot there. And those words have a lot of meaning there. And we're going to just hit on some of those words because it's applicable to what we're talking about and what the Lord would have for us to know concerning this. But if you go back to chapter 11, what do we find in chapter 11? Chapter 11, verse 1, Paul writing here, he says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What, or know ye not, what the scripture saith to Isaiah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying... And he goes on down and talks about what Israel did. And you find out here that Israel didn't do what God told them to do. They made bad choices. And God has set them aside for now. There's a remnant, of course, that we learn about in chapter 11. In the end times, there's going to be a remnant of Israel that there's going to be saved. But Israel as a nation has been disobedient to God. They have not hearkened to the commandments that God gave them. They broke almost every one of the laws and commandments that God gave them about how they're to live, intermarriage, and all these different kind of things. And so God says, it says here that God's going to set them aside. Now, of course, we know that there is a blessing in chapter 11 because God has taken on the Gentiles. And he has chosen through his mercy to preserve Israel, but yet to bless the Gentiles and to bring them to the gospel. And that's us that he's done this for. And so there's a great blessing even in that. And then he warns them, though, the Gentiles, be careful that you don't do just like the Israelites did. Don't you become calloused. Don't you become careless. and obeying me and doing the things that you're supposed to do. Because if you do, just like I did to my chosen people, I'll do to you. It's a warning. Make the right choices, Gentiles. Don't just go about life and think that just because God's turned to you now, you can do anything you want to, live any way you want to, and God's going to bless you. No, he says, if you do this, I'll bless you. But if you do this, I'm going to put these curses on you. And if I've turned against my own people, think what I'll do to you if you disobey me. So we have the foundation here of the importance of keeping God's word, keeping the commandments, doing what God wants us to do. In John chapter 15 and verse 14, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me. He said, you can say, it's not those that say, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the choice we're supposed to make. And every time we break a commandment, we made a choice. We chose not to keep the commandment. We chose not to do what God would have us to do. Every time we fail to go to church or witness or to read the Bible or to tithe or to love our neighbor or to be forgiving and long-suffering and kind and gentle and long-suffering and all these, every time we choose not to do that, it's a choice. We should have chose the other way, but we chose not to. And you say, well, I didn't understand. No, God, you understand, because God says your word is nigh thee. And we're going to see that. It's right there. He's given it to us. Nobody has to go to heaven to get it and bring it down. Nobody has to cross the sea to get it and bring it over. It's right there for us. We know what to do, and we have no excuse. I think there's a lot of Christians, at least Christians that proclaim, that think when they stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ that they're going to give God excuses and he's going to accept it. He's going to say, no excuses. I told you. I told you, don't do this. I told you to do that. Those sins of omission, sins of commission, and so on and so forth. We need to be cautious about that. Look at John chapter 15. You can keep your fingers in Romans there because we'll come back there eventually if I don't forget. Romans chapter 12 we were in there. But go over to John chapter 15 right now. John chapter 15, begin reading verse 10. Here's that word if again. That's conditional. It doesn't mean that you can do anything you want to. It means if. It means conditional. What he's telling us is condition upon this. He says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In that same way, that same portion. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. He said, I'm telling you this to keep my commandments so that you might have joy. Not just have joy, but your joy might be full. There's joy in following the Lord. There's joy in living after his direction in our life. But there's sorrow and misery in not obeying him. And so, of course, it would behoove us to obey him. He says in verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. How should we love each other? The same way that Christ loved us. How did Christ love us? Fully, completely, sacrificially. He gave himself, he removed himself, and put others before himself. And that's what we're to do. We're to put others before ourselves. We find that taught all through the Bible, that we're to think of others. How should I act toward others? Christ loved us that way. That's the way we're to love. Love, this agape love, is a love of choice. It's not something that just happens. It's not something that is manufactured through situations and events, because all the time, situations and events don't call for love. This is a love that you choose to love in spite of, not because of. In spite of the fact that that person may not be worthy of that love or deserve that love, you're commanded to love them. Just like we're not worthy of God's love. And in spite of the fact that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were what? Yet sinners. Christ died for us. That's the way he wants us to love one another. That's the command. That's the choice. Well, you say, well, that person harmed me. That person did something against me. They hurt me, so I'm not going to love them. Well, you're making a choice. You're choosing not to love them, and you're disobeying the word of God, because God tells us to love them and be kind toward them and be long-suffering and be gentle and be patient and forbearing. It's not easy. I'm not saying that this is easy, folks, but I'm saying that that's the choices. That's the choices that we're to make. And we know that we're to make them because God has given us his word. And we can only do that when we put God first in our lives and we pray and we read his word and we practice those things. And the more we practice them, the more we'll be able to do them. He says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And of course, God demonstrated that in his precious son when he gave his son, and his son laid down his life for us. He says, "You are my friends if you do. Notice how many times that "do" is involved in these readings. It's not just knowing. There's a lot of us, and I say us, there's a lot of us that know the word of God. There's a lot of us that hear the word of God. But unfortunately, we don't always do the word of God. And that's a choice. That's a choice. We make it all the time. A good choice. If you do a good choice, blessings, God said. If you do a bad choice, cursings. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Like I told you, this is not profound. This is pretty basic, it's just a practical message. If we want God's blessings, do what he says. Be what he tells us to be. And do it for the right motives and reasons. "Henceforth I call you not servants," in verse 15, "for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friend, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you." You don't have an excuse. I've made known to you what my Father expects of you. So we ought to do it. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." That's a choice that we need to make. He's commanded us to go, but we have to choose whether or not we go. He's commanded us as a church and an extension of individuals to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He's commanded us to do that. Whether we do it or not is a choice that we make, right? I mean, we can try to dissect it, and we can try to wash it away through logic and reasoning, but God says, go, do, and I'll bless you if you do. And I believe he'll keep his word. He kept his word to Israel. He kept it both in blessing them at times, but he also kept it in bringing chastisement upon them when they didn't do, and he warned them to do so. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you to set you or appointed you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Isn't that a wonderful promise there? Whatsoever you ask in my name. And that means you're asking for the right reason, for the right way, to the right person. You know, you're not asking for a brand new Cadillac just to get a brand new Cadillac. You know, but he said, if you do it right, my Father, I'll bless you with it. If you're hearkening and doing, I'll take care of you. "These things I command you, that you love one another." And again, we find that command of love. Love is that foundation. Love is that motivational element to everything that we do for God. It ought to be. If we love God right, doing and serving God will be easy. It won't be grievous. If we had the right kind of love for God. Look what God did. God loved us, and what did it motivate him to do? To give his own son. Jesus loved us, and what did it motivate him to do? To lay his own life down for us and suffer for us. All motivated by love. Love. And that's so important. That love is important in every aspect of our life, in our homes and in our churches and in our world and business. We ought to love, because that love will motivate us to do and to make good choices. Like I said, we're faced all day long with many choices, all kinds of choices. We ought to be careful to choose the things that are God-honoring. That's one of the things that we'll find out this afternoon, is one of the questions that we should ask when we make a choice, just to give you a little preview here, is that, is this choice that I'm making honoring God? That eliminates a whole lot of things, doesn't it? Pretty much right off the bat. We come to those forks in the road. We come to those decisions that are major decisions, not minor decisions like whether or not you wear a certain tie or something of that nature. That's a very minor decision that you make, a minor choice. It has very little long-term effect in the temporal life or the eternal life. But there's many choices that we make that have long-term effects. And they don't only affect us, they affect everybody around us. We think that this is only going to hurt me. No. Every choice we make affects us and it affects others when these major choices come up. And so we need to be cautious as we make these choices and be aware that we're to make choices that honor God. Does this honor God? What I'm about to do, does it honor God? That's simple, isn't it, to say? It's simple to know. It's simple to hear. Well, maybe not as easy to hear because it steps on our toes. But to do it, before we make that decision, whatever it may, and then, boy, you can put almost anything in there. Buying, selling, living, relationships, whatever it is, before I do this, will this honor God? We should always make the choice that honors God. And He'll bless us for doing that. I believe there are many biblical principles taught. Go back over to Romans chapter 12. There's many biblical principles taught that will help us to make the right choices, to discern life and death and good and bad, good and evil, to help us to know which is which. And that's what we want to know. At least we should also want to know, how do I know that this is good? How do I know that this honors God? Well, God didn't leave us blind. His word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. I mean, it's right there. Paul, I think, quotes that over in Romans. Again, over chapter 9, is it? Or 10? You know, he says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. You know, his word is there. We have what we need to know. We just don't avail to it. We don't take advantage of it. And then we want to use the plea of ignorance. I didn't know that God expected me to do this or to do that. I didn't know that there was going to be consequences for this. But God says, I've given it to you. There's no excuse. I've made it there for you. So in Romans chapter 12, he says, I therefore. The word therefore is such a fascinating word, especially in Romans. It's used 26 times, I think, 26 or 27 times. This is the 16th time that it's used. And somebody has equated it to building of a pyramid. And each time there's a word therefore, laying down another layer of that pyramid as you go up to the pinnacle of the pyramid. And so that therefore, what it does, Brother Francis' favorite saying was, anytime you see the word therefore, go back and see what it's there for. And what it's there for is to remind you what you just did. You just studied, you just read what God wanted you to know. Therefore. What? Therefore, then it talks about what you should do. So it takes us back to what we've learned, and then it tells us this is how we should act because of that. Therefore, you should act this way. Therefore, you should live this way because of what we've learned. What have we learned in Romans so far? Well, in Romans, we've learned a lot of doctrine. The first 11 chapters are primarily doctrine, deep doctrine, wonderful doctrine, justification, and all these wonderful teachings. We learned chapter 11 recently, Israel, of what the consequences were for them not obeying and doing what God told them, and that we learned about God coming to the Gentiles, but warning them that they better not practice that either. They better do the right thing, or he'll do the same thing to them. And so we've learned some great things there. He says, therefore, because of this, I beseech you. That word beseech means I urge you, I beg of you, I implore you. This is important, in other words. Therefore, that ye, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The word present means to yield. Yield. I think I heard Brother Warren mentioning this in a lesson or something recently when I was listening to him. But it means to yield. Yield your bodies. Don't yield it to the members of the flesh. Don't yield it to the world and to the appetites of the world. Don't make the choices that feed the flesh. Yield your body to the things of the Spirit. Give yourself over to the things of the Spirit. 10 years from now, at this time of this writing, approximately, Titus is going to come in and destroy the Jerusalem, and there's going to be no more animal sacrifices. So we see now that he's talking about a living sacrifice. We're to present our body, we're to yield our body to God, a living sacrifice. Wholly given over to God. When a person offered a sacrifice in the Old Testament, a lamb or whatever it was, turtle dove or oxen, whatever it was, they were yielding that animal to the priest. They had no more control over that animal. They had no more say over how that animal was going to be, live or die. They yielded it over. When we yield our life to God, a living sacrifice, we turn that over to God. And you notice he said body. Body, soul, and spirit, the entirety of man. He's talking here about the body. We're to yield our body. What we put on it, what we put in it, where we take it, how we use this vessel of our soul and spirit, how we treat it. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us we're not our own. We've been bought with a price in our bodies. Therefore, glorify the Lord God in your bodies. Be careful. You shouldn't put things in there that defile the body. You shouldn't put things on there that defile your body and things that defile your faith, things that would draw unwanted attention and comments and things to others. We should be careful about that. It should be holy, set apart, fit for the master's use. Acceptable means well-pleasing. Those choices that we make in our life, when we think about it being honoring to God, we should have also this thought, is that well-pleasing? Is God pleased in that? When Jesus was baptized, you remember, he went down into the water and came up, and a dove came from heaven, and a voice from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He was saying, I've accepted what's happened here. I am well pleased in this. And the things that we do, the choices that we make, ought to be well pleasing to God. Standing at a crossroad again, multiple choices. Maybe there's three different ways that we could go, or four, maybe just two. And we have to make a choice. Which way are we going to travel? We should do the one that's well-pleasing to God. That pretty much eliminates the rest. Well, this doesn't please God because it goes against His commandments. God isn't pleased with this because He said in His Word that these are abominations and we shouldn't do that. And so this road is the one that talks about living a life that is in the image of Christ and glorifying God in our bodies and bringing honor to Him and praise. That must be the well-pleasing way to go. And so I'm going to choose that one. And you make a proper choice. He goes on down. He says, acceptable or well-pleasing, not to man, but to God, or not to yourself, but to God. A lot of these choices that we make, folks, we have to be honest with ourselves. We make those choices because it's well-pleasing to me. This satisfies the appetite of the flesh. It pleases the flesh. So I make this choice. That's not necessarily going to please God. Most of the time, probably not please God. When we want to please God, we ought to consider, is He happy with this choice? And then he says, which is your reasonable service. And the word reasonable here has various, I've heard various interpretations, and kind of what I lean to is it's the logical choice. Therefore, going back to therefore, knowing about all these things that we learned in the previous chapters and verses in Romans, knowing what God has done and what God has promised and what God has supplied to us, therefore, the reasonable thing to do is to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's the logical thing to do. How can we argue with that? And the word service here carries with it the ideal of ministry. Yield to God is you know, your reasonable ministry, the ministry that God's called us all into, of sharing the gospel, of course, and being encouraging and these various things. And then he tells us what not to do, as God does in the Bible. He not only tells us what we ought to do, he tells us what we ought not to do. He says, and be not conformed. That means to be patterned or fashioned after. Don't pattern yourself. Today, fashions change all the time. And the world seems to be getting worse and worse all the time. And the patterns that are set up for the world, not only in fashion, but in government and all these different things, we're not to conform or fashion ourselves after the world, and that means after the age here. After this age. This age is ungodly, immoral, filthy imaginations, and all these different things that people have chosen to do. We're not to fashion ourselves after those. We're not to conform to those. We're not to make our pattern after those. In difference to that, he says, but be ye transformed. And of course, you know that word comes, we get our word metamorphism, a caterpillar going into a cocoon and coming out a beautiful butterfly. It changes completely. It's an ugly, slimy, undesirable creature that the world may accept, but God is not pleased with. but we're transformed. It's used in Matthew 17:1 in the Mount of Transfiguration. And we're transformed into that beautiful, graceful, desirous butterfly, floating on the currents of the air. That's what we ought to be transformed by, the renewing. And that word, we get renovation. I think some of you probably are familiar with renovation more than I am even, but you renovate a house. You take an old house and you renovate it. You make it, all things become new. You know, old things pass away, all things become new. There's a renovation goes on of our mind, because that's where it starts. We got to renew this mind, the way we think. If we're going to make right choices, we've got to be cautious to renew our mind, making the right choices. He says that we may renew our mind, renewing our mind, that ye may prove. That word prove means to test, such as a metallurgist would test metal that's been heated to see that if it's tempered right. We're to test those things that we're getting ready to make a choice about. Don't just jump into it. Stop and consider it. Test it. Is that good for me? Is that pleasing to God? Does that bring him honor? Is that going to be a blessing to my family? Is that going to be a blessing to my church? And stop and prove that before you do it. We'll see that word again in just a second as we hurry on here, because we're fastly approaching high noon. And, you know, that's when we have a gunfight or something, right? High noon. So we'll try to get done really close to that there. And it says, renewing of your mind that you may prove, that you might test, that multiple choice, that testing, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove that. Is that good? Is it acceptable? Is it the will of God, that choice that I'm about to make? If we would stop and consider these things before we make choices. Now, again, I said there's a lot of things that we do, you know, they don't really have a lot of effect of our life. What, you know, whether we wear a black suit or a blue suit or whatever. My wife used to say my choices weren't really good sometimes when I didn't have very good matches. But besides that fact that my wife wasn't pleased with it, I'm not sure God was really concerned a whole lot with my color coordination. But there's a lot of things that we choose that God is concerned with. A lot of choices we make, and we're to put it to this test. We're to prove that, whether that's good or bad. Ephesians 5:10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving, putting it to the test. Is this acceptable to the Lord, that choice I'm about to make? 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22 says, prove all things, everything. Stop and test that. Make sure, make certain that that's going to fit mustard with God. Proving all things, holding fast to that which is good. When you make the choice, when you determine that this is good, this is well-pleasing to God, hold fast to that. Follow after that. Proving that which is good and acceptable, and then it goes on down and says, and abstain from all appearances of evil. When we do that, when we test it, when we approve it, it'll help us to abstain from those things that even are the appearance of evil. Because we know that that doesn't please God. That's not well-pleasing to God. And if we love God, that's what we want to do. We want to be well-pleasing. How do we do that? How do we know that? How can we understand that? 1 Timothy 3:16 tells us that we know all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteous living. Righteousness, that means righteous living. The Word of God is profitable for instruction in how to live righteously, how to make the right choices. Man, that you may be perfect. Instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Completely furnished. The Word of God equips us with that. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 says, strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The Word of God, as we get into the Word of God and we study that Word that's sharper than any two-edged sword, it's able to instruct us so that we can discern. You're not going to know sometimes. You're going to face things in your life, challenges, choices in your life that's going to put you to the test, but you don't know which is the right one. Why? Because you're not in the book. You're not studying the Word. God says, there's no excuse that you made the wrong choice. I gave you everything you need to know about that. You have all the information. Let's just go to 2 Peter and we'll close with this. 2 Peter chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 3. He says, according as his divine power, that is Christ, has given unto us what? All things that pertaineth unto life and godliness. God has given us everything we need that pertaineth to making the right choices. Through the knowledge of him, the more you know him, the more you will love him, and the more you love him, the more you will be willing to please him and to obey him. That to all godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us into glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding precious, great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then he goes on down and he gives us some things that we can add to our faith that will help us. He says, you've been given everything you need to know so that you can escape that corruption of the wrong choices in life. We can make all kinds of choices. This afternoon we'll look at some questions that we can ask that will help us determine, is this a good choice? And we should. Before we do something, if we would just stop and say, is that going to bring glory to God? I mean, just that one question alone would change our lives a lot. Or is that going to be pleasing to God? You know, I believe that we should be in the house of God on the Lord's Day, and some people work on Sunday because they make good money and double time sometimes, or maybe more, and they're offered to do that, and that pleases the flesh, but it doesn't please God. We might have excuses that I need that. I could pay some bills. I could tithe a little bit more. We come up with some really good arguments sometimes. But does that please God? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That pleases God. The other thing pleases the flesh, getting that nice paycheck. But God's not concerned with our paycheck in that sense. He's concerned with us putting him first, having no other gods before him. And when we do that, we're putting other things, money as a god before him. Simple question. Does that please God? That would pretty much answer whether or not I should do that, wouldn't it? In so many other ways. We'll look at it a little deeper this afternoon. Hopefully it'll cause us to challenge ourselves, to question ourselves, and to see whether or not we're making good choices. Godly choices, choosing life and not death, choosing good and not evil. God says you don't have no reason not to. I've told you what is good. I've told you what is life. I've told you what is not. It's up to you to make the choices. Now, again, I believe in the sovereignty of God, but I also believe in human responsibility. And he holds us accountable for these choices that we make. All right, brother.